Brother Matt Frame, would you pray for us, please? Thank you. Okay, welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church. Seeker Sunday School class, have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. It's November the 2nd. Bible Readers Banquet's right around the corner. And if you just got saved or just started reading your Bible, you could still get it read before January. And don't be discouraged. Okay, what book are we in? Gospel of John. Over here on this side, where's Matthew start? Bethlehem is right. In this section here, where's Luke start? I mean Mark. I can't hear you. That's right. In this section right here, where's Luke start? Okay, over here, where's John start? In the beginning, where else? In the bosom. That's right. It doesn't get any closer than the bosom. It doesn't get any higher than the bosom. He started in the bosom. John, near to the heart of God. Last week, we'll back up here and review a little bit. Look at verse 29, chapter 1, verse 29. Dear Lord, again, we're in agreement with the prayers so far. Please help, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's John 1:29. And we got down to verse 36, and it says, "And looked upon Jesus as he walked, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." John was identifying him. Which Lamb of God you talking about? Anyway, how about the one which taketh away the sin of the world? How about the one that takes away the sin of Brother Rick, takes away the sin of Rick and puts him in the family and makes him Brother Rick? How about that one right there? Yeah. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Well, I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't used to know. I didn't always know who he was.
Yes, amen.
He's Lord,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
He is the King of Glory.
That's who he is.
I know who Jesus is.
I'm glad about it. I don't know about y'all. I'm glad about it.
Alpha and Omega.
Yeah. Yeah. What about that?
Wonderful Counselor, hear me.
Yeah, he's the Father. He's God. He's the King. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he sure is. Yeah, I'm glad too. Thank y'all. Yeah, I'm glad about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon. Went to test the acoustics in the agricultural hall. And the way he tested, he shouted out, "Behold the Lamb of God." And there was a worker way up in the rafters. And a few days later, he came to Charles Spurgeon. He said, "I got saved because that wore me out. Behold the Lamb of God." All he could think about was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We saw him in Genesis chapter 4. It was imprinted, embedded on our mind. And we've been watching for him ever since Genesis chapter 4. Yeah. He was in the hearts of the people. They was watching for the Messiah. It was ingrained in their hearts and minds. And then in Genesis 22:8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together up Calvary's mountain. That's the lamb prophesied.
Wow.
The Lamb prophesied. We got him as type, and then we got him prophesied.
Yeah.
Up Calvary's mountain. One dreadful morning.
Here we go.
Walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn.
Yeah. For sinners, that'd be me.
Death on the cross.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
That he might save them from endless
torment.
Blessed. Blessed. The one we're talking about, the Lamb of God.
Seems to see him.
You see? Can you see him this morning? Blind.
Wounded and bleeding.
For sinners, please. Yes.
Father, forgive them.
It's me.
Thus did he pray, even while his life's blood flowed past away.
Come on.
Praying for sinners while in such woe.
No one. No one. Nobody. That's right. That's right.
And oh, how
yes. Yes. Go ahead.
My Savior.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
How can my praises ever find end through years of
yeah. Yes.
My tongue shall praise.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it's going to go. That's right.
Forevermore.
Yeah. Yeah. You see him this morning? You see him?
Wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Yes, yes. Yes. Thank you, Sunday School Trio. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week we glanced at the Lamb of God in Exodus 12. We saw the blood of the Lamb applied. It was a Lamb. A Lamb. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying in the 10th day of the month they shall take to them every man a Lamb. A Lamb according to the house of their families. A Lamb for a house. It was available to all. The Lamb of God is available to everyone. It's whosoever will, but still it's someone else's lamb. in that verse. It's still not personal. They'd not yet received the Lamb. Verse 4, and if the household, I'm in Exodus 12, be too little for the Lamb of God, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the Lamb of God. It points out the Lamb, there's one and only one. There's only one Lamb of God. And there is not another. There's not another Lamb. There ain't nobody like Him.
Amen.
Acts tells us about it in 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the only name you can get in on. It's only. Then in Exodus 12:5, it becomes real personal.
Yeah.
It's your lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. Ye shall take it, your lamb, out from the sheep or from the goats. Then it's Christ received.
Yeah. Amen.
Christ received. Real personal.
Yeah.
Your lamb. Let me ask you something. What if Rebecca had decided to stay with Laban's sheep?
Oh.
What if she was still watching the sheep? What if you were still back where God found you?
Think about that.
Yeah. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
Yeah.
1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood. Precious is just one of them. One of them. That was God's blood. There's never been any God's blood before that. There was no God's blood after that. There's one. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. The Lamb of God is a person. As a person is what we're talking about. The Lamb of God is a person. Revelation 5:12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That train running on that railroad track, the steam is the power that powers it, a picture of the Holy Spirit, but it needs a track to run on. The rails are a picture of the Word of God to keep us going straight, keep us on line. The Lamb magnifies what we're talking about. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad. I know who Jesus is. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife hath made herself ready. Talking about the Lamb of God satisfied. Satisfied with His wife. Revelation 22:1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, the big L Lamb of God. The Lamb of God glorified. Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Guess what? We're in there. That's us. Which no man could number of all nations, kindreds, and people. Guess what? We're in there. We're going to be there. And tongues, and stood before the throne. We're going to see a real throne. And before the Lamb. The Lamb of God clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. The Lamb of God glorified. 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. The Lamb glorified. 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him, that's us, are called and chosen and faithful. The Lamb glorified. 19:9. And He said unto me, write, blessed are they, it's going to be us, which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. 21:22. I'm talking about the Lamb glorified.
Yeah.
It's right in our near future. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb or the temple. But we just worship in person right then, eyeball to eyeball, face on the ground. How about verse 21, 23? And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, for to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Talking about the Lamb of God glorified. Glorified. Now, last week we quit in verse 38. Still reviewing John 1:38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye? What seek ye?" These are the first words Jesus speaks in the book of John. He said, "What seek ye?" Last week we looked at whom to seek, when to seek, what to seek, and we were up to how to seek. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. How am I going to do it anyway, Brother Rick? Well, let's see. Let's just see. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 3. "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Well, how are we going to do that, Brother Rick? Well, I'm glad you asked. Daniel 9. It's not very pretty, but here it is. Daniel 9, starting in verse 3. "And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes."
Think about that.
"And I prayed unto the Lord," the big Lord, the capital Lord, the big L, big O, big R, big D, "my God, and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him." Anybody in here like that? "And to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity." I told you it wasn't very pretty. "And have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee." Maybe somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
"But unto us is confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near, that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness." Maybe say amen right there.
Yeah.
"Though we have rebelled against Him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. And He hath confirmed His words which He spake against us, against our judges that judged us." If it wasn't for the Lamb of God, we have no hope. The words against us, "by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as that as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for he obeyed, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly." Well, that's how. Now, why? Psalm 34. Psalm 34:10. And the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That's why. That's why you came to Sunday school. You're seeking Him. That's why you read your Bible and pray every day. You're seeking Him. That's why you're going to stay for preaching, because you're seeking Him. That's why you're going to come back tonight, because you're seeking Him. Well, that's all review. That's all free. Now, we'll start in 38 again, and we'll look at today's lesson. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto Him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And they're doing right seeking the Lord. And He said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak followed Him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," the one we've been watching for since chapter 4 in Genesis. The one was embedded on our mind, the Lamb of God. We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. It seems like every time somebody gets saved, they get a burden for somebody else, especially their family. Especially they want somebody else to find that soup line that us bums found and got in free. They just want to tell somebody else about it. 42 is the fruit of it. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Then here's the witness of Philip. That's what happened to Philip. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him." We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. And we've been looking for him since chapter 4. Yeah. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is Philip's experience. This is what he did. His first concern was Nathanael, to get Nathanael in. His conviction, he came out of it saying, "Jesus is the one. He's the Messiah. He's the one." Then we got the witness of Nathanael, starting in 46. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Nathanael answered him and said to him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." This is the witness of Nathanael. This was his experience. He was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and his conviction, the way he came out of it, he said, "Jesus is King."
Yeah.
That's my conclusion. He's the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God we've been looking for since chapter 4. Verse 50. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Nathanael could expect more to come down the pike. There's going to be more coming over the falls, down the river.
Yeah.
I just begun to live. Yeah. When God's amazing grace come in, I just begun to live. I begun to live November 16th, 1974. It wasn't 20 years before that.
Right.
I just started to live. There's more coming down the pipe. You can expect more, is what he told Nathanael. There's more to it than this. 51. The mediator. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We saw that a while back. Genesis 28, it wasn't too long ago we was back there. We saw a picture of it. Genesis 28, starting in verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went forward to Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached unto heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Here in John, we just read, is the only places you find this phrase, ascending and descending. See, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is Jacob's ladder. He is Jacob's ladder that he dreamed about. And it's not a ladder to climb on, it's a ladder to trust. It's the only way from earth to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not working at it. We're not climbing. I'm not climbing. We approach heaven through Christ alone. We have access through Christ alone, the Lamb of God. And we have constant fellowship through Christ alone, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Okay, we got some time. Let's look at chapter 2 here. This is where the Lord turns water into wine. And wine's a picture of joy. And this is non-alcoholic wine. We'll see here. I hope we see it. The Lord wasn't a bartender. No contradiction in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, the Lord used Moses to turn water into blood. It's a picture of judgment. But now it's going to be joy in the New Testament when the Lord does it. Verse 1, "And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." This is the first miracle. Water turned into wine, joy. We see a picture of Mary in Luke 1, but we saw it not long ago. Let's go on. Verses 2 and 3. Here's Mary's report. "And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Jesus ought to be at every marriage. "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" Now, I don't think she expected a miracle. I think she thought he would go get some. Him and the disciples would go get some. I think that's what she thought. Mary's rebuke here. "Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what have I to do with thee?'" Now that wasn't, that woman is a respectful title. Like you would say lady or yes ma'am, no ma'am. It was like that. He wasn't really being disrespectful to her, but he had to tell her he was getting ready to go to work. Be about his father's business. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." It's on the way. There's a great gulf fixed between the mother and the Messiah. He had to make this clear. Mary's not the mother of God. She's the mother of the body he lived in for 33 years when he descended. There's a great gulf between the mother and the master. She needed a savior too. There's a great gulf between the mother and the mediator and the Messiah. And she had to understand it. Here's Mary's rule. Well, it'd be good if it was Rick's rule. Be real good. "And the mother saith unto the servants, 'Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it.'" Well, that'll work every time. That's the best advice for anyone, anytime. Brother Rick, every day, all day long. That's what I need. Verse 6, here's the obedience. The command comes in front of the blessings. "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece." Now, that's 8 or 9 gallon each. And there's 2 or 3. That's between 16 and 27 gallon. A pretty big load. Pretty big load. And but the servants are obedient. the command precedes the blessing. There will be a blessing here in a little bit, but you got to obey the command first. The servants did. Anyway, number 7, I don't have to obey, but it's going to work out good if I do. 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. I'm talking about brimful obedience. They didn't halfway do it like I do. They didn't make a stab at it.
Right.
It was brimful obedience.
Amen.
The Lord's, she said, whatever he says, do it. And they did it. Verse 8, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. That's the enablement. They drew nothing but water.
Yeah.
They didn't know what's about to happen. Verse 9, here's the enlightenment. When we saw the light. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was or where it came from, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. This is obedience. I got several verses on that, and maybe we'll have time to look them up. But first of all, I want you to know that there's a blessing in every act of obedience.
Right.
Yes.
Everyone. Eve would not have fallen had she not been indifferent to the Word. To the Word. And obedience is the fruit of faith. The only way we'll obey, we've been through this, the only way I'm going to stop at this stop sign up here is if I'm obedient.
Right. Yep.
If I second gear it and keep going, it's a lack of faith. I really don't believe something bad might happen to me. I really don't believe. Faith puts us into living association and communion with God Himself.
Yeah.
When I have faith and believe to obey and fill it up brimful, just like the Lord told me to, that's going to help me commune with God, bring me in where we can talk, in the inner circle, if you will. The first man, Adam, brought us sin and disobedience and death.
Right.
The second Adam brought us righteousness, obedience, and life. The Lord told Noah, He said, make me an ark.
Right.
He made an ark. Just real simple obedience. He said, come thou into the ark. Noah came in. Just simple obedience. Nothing special. Nothing spectacular. He said, go forth out of the ark.
Yep.
And Noah went out. Went out of the ark. And Noah went forth and built an altar. All unto the Lord. But Noah was looking past the altar. That wasn't the end of it. He was looking past that into heaven. He was talking to the Lord.
Yep.
He was communing with the Lord because of obedience.
Right.
Simple obedience. Obedience of faith and worship of faith go together. Obedience and worship, they go together. Noah proved it. True obedience is simply showing the new nature in grace. God gives me the grace to obey. Back under the old nature, I didn't even want to. Didn't even want to. Only one obeyed continually. It's the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. He's the only one that didn't stumble or have lapses of faith like I do. God graciously imparts precepts for this guidance. This is used to guide me in my obedience. Not legality. Legality, legalism is the old nature trying. Not that. Legalism is fallen man taking up God's pure and holy law and trying to regulate my fallen nature. My corrupt nature. Natural man. Can't do it. You can't do it. It'll never work. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about obedience. God's Word attracts and draws. It never compels or drives. The trial is the opportunity for the path of simple, wholehearted obedience. Well, what trial are you talking about, Brother Rick? Well, just wait a little bit. Carefully guard faith and a pure conscience jealously. Jealously. Wait on God. I get to wait on God during the trial.
Right.
Yeah.
Sarah didn't wait.
Right.
Abraham didn't wait. And there's Ishmael. Ishmael is absolutely useless. The flesh.
Right.
Rick's absolutely useless. Impatience is unbelief. But the natural heart prefers anything to waiting.
Right.
Anything's better than waiting. God makes a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates, and patience waits quietly on it. We're still talking about obedience. Once we've lost the sense of God's nearness, we lose that calm, well-balanced condition of the soul. There's a peculiar blessedness in leaving ourselves in God's hands. With Hagar, God had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
With Sarah, man had nothing to do with it. When the creature is laid low, then God can show Himself what He is. For what He is, the Lamb of God. An obedient soul enjoys communion unknown to those living in the world. Just to be a child's great. Just to be in the family. I'm just glad to be. I'd rather be called brother than anything.
Right.
Than president, senator, anything. I'd rather be a brother. But an obedient brother refreshes the father. And that's a closer happiness then. The wife may not know her husband's business, but she knows his footstep. She knows his voice and she's hoping for his return.
Yeah.
Hey, he's still coming.
Amen.
He's still coming.
Yeah.
At first Adam needed a helpmate. And guess what? The second Adam did too. And we're it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're it. Abraham rose up early in the morning. That was ready obedience. Flesh and blood will never do it.
Right.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.